Today's Big Brother podcast is sponsored by The Great Courses. Now, I do love to learn, whether it's via audiobook or watching a series of videos. I do love to get more information about topics I'm interested in without having to go anywhere. That's really the key thing for me. And if you like that sort of thing like I do, The Great Courses is perfect for you, because The Great Courses brings you engaging video and audio courses by top experts in the field about a ton of different topics that you'd be interested in. In honor of the 25th anniversary of The Great Courses, they've got over 500 courses in topics like history, science, art, and more, where you can watch or listen to DVDs, CDs, swatch streaming videos, get digital downloads, or the Great Courses app. So for a limited time, The Great Courses has a special offer for our listeners, which I think would help anybody who's planning to go to the Big Brother house. They're currently offering at 80% off courses like the Everyday Gourmet. That'll help you with cooking in the Big Brother house. You could write creative nonfiction, which is perfect for your dog before you go and get an HOH letter from them when you go into the house. Secrets of Mental Math, that'll help you on the block. Understanding Investments is perfect for after you win the $500,000. So order today. Go to thegreatcourses.com/RHAP. That's thegreatcourses.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who loves the 90s takeover, because that's the last time that he knew anything about music. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and we're very excited for a big, big brother podcast. We've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to be talking about your voicemails, which we're going to be bringing on in just a bit, but we're actually going to start today talking about some action from Monday on the live feeds, because it was a crazy day in the Big Brother house. And here with me to talk about all of it, you know him from CarterMatt.com. He knows everything about television, including Big Brother, and he does the Big Brother exit interviews as well. Please welcome back to the podcast, Matt Carter. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. I'm like a ball of energy right now. There's so many different things to talk about. I mean, I feel like my head may actually explode by the time we get to the end of this.
Yes, we got so much to talk about here tonight.
Buckle up, bitches.
Yeah, buckle up, bitches.
I'm buckled.
Buckle up, bitches. Let's go. We're doing this. Okay. So let me just give a little bit of a background here on this show. Typically, this is going to be the Monday afternoon voicemails, and Matt and I were scheduled to record this around 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And so we were coming up around that, and stuff was going down in the Big Brother house, and we didn't want to come on and be sort of like, well, at this hour, here's where we are. We don't know where things are. So we wanted to wait till we got a little further away from everything, where we would have some resolution on a couple of these things that are going on. We have some clarity now at this point on what's happening. And so now we are ready to do the show. We are live on Periscope, but that does mean we are going to be starting talking about stuff from the live feeds. I know that's going to be a little bit of a bummer for some people, but what I can tell you is that I did record a podcast with AJ Mass today. We talked about the 13 archetypes of Big Brother, and we did our draft. That is completely spoiler-free, and I'll be posting that on Tuesday. So you're still going to get your non-spoiler podcast coming between now and Wednesday night's live show, when we have Zach Rantz on as a guest. But tonight, I want to start with the live feeds. What do you think of that?
I am thrilled. I have so much to talk about. I am chomping at the bit.
Periscope is good with it. You're good with it. So without further ado, we got to jump into it. We got to talk about these Big Brother live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
That's right. Spoiler time, right off the bat. Boom. We're doing it.
Doing it.
That's right.
Good thing there's no camera on over here. I was just grooving to that jingle.
How could you not?
It's addictive.
All right, so a lot going on where we last left us on Sunday night. We knew about all the drama happening in the house. Now, Matt, you keep up with all of the live feeds and know everything that's going on in the house at all times, correct?
Yeah, I tend to be pretty good about it. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll just put it on while I'm working, and so I don't always watch and see everything, but I try to listen to everything, so sometimes I miss things like Clay dancing or, you know, James getting into a trash bag or something, but I got a pretty good grasp of it. But like the last, you know, 36 hours or so, I think I haven't really gotten a whole lot else done because it's been addictive. It's not even television, but addictive feeds. I cannot stop.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. Very interesting day. So just let's talk about, take us through overnight from Sunday night into Monday. Matt and I are recording this as of right now. It is 8:25 Big Brother time. That's fancy for West Coast time. Yes. And so we are at this point in time, and probably by the time people are listening to this podcast on Tuesday morning as they're driving to work, things may be completely different. So just to give you a time and a date, that's where we are right now. Could you take us through a little bit of the events from overnight, from Sunday into Monday, to set up this afternoon?
All right. Well, I don't know how perfect I'm going to be at lining up exactly, you know, what Taryn and you guys talked about on the Sunday night show, but really the whole sort of idea here that was that Audrey was starting to realize that, you know, her whole alliance, if you will, barely an alliance with, you know, Clay, Shelly, those guys was completely falling apart. So she did the very thing that Shelly has been freaking out about for about the past week and a half, and that was starting to expose things. And she went to James, she started talking to Jackie, she went around to some various people, but I think the moment that things really started to fall apart for Audrey was when she started to realize that all of these secrets that she was telling James about the sleeper cell and about this whole other side of the house were, he was just running around telling everybody. And it seemed for a while that James was kind of believing some of what she was saying, but then Meg and Clay were basically saying, no, no, shut it down. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
And no!
Yes. If only Johnny Mac was there, he could have delivered that line personally, because that felt like that was what happened. And eventually, Audrey basically left the situation and really left the house. She was in the diary room for a long time.
All right, well, take us through. Let's start there. And okay. Audrey heads to the diary room. Around what time this afternoon does Audrey first go into the diary room?
All right, well, to back up a little, she went into the diary room last night, and overnight she was there for a really long
time. Oh, okay, got it.
And there was, and anytime this happens, there's like mass paranoia on Twitter that she's quitting the game, she is, you know, getting a Diamond Power veto, they're bringing in some 90s TV star to get a takeover done right then and there. Like, that all was happening, of course, you know, none of that was really the case. She eventually gets up. Get out of there. She has like a brief talk with Vanessa overnight. I don't remember the right time of this, but it was, you know, the black lights were on, you know, it was, could barely see or hear kind of what was going on. But she gave kind of the gist to Vanessa that she had some sort of breakdown and that she wanted to speak to the psychiatrist, but they weren't able to get in until morning. And so there was some of that sort of stuff kind of said last night, but Vanessa thought that she was doing okay. And then, you know, earlier tomorrow.
Why did they need the psychiatrist?
I don't really know, to be honest. And I don't know what it is for different shows. Like for you, Rob, was there a psychiatrist available on set of Survivor the Amazon?
No. There is somebody who is, you know, a psychiatrist that obviously talks to you in casting. Yeah. There is somebody who talks to you after you get voted out and is one of the first people that spends a lot of time with you, Dr. Liza, who is beloved by many, many survivors and has a thankless job and deals with many crazy people. So mm-hmm. I don't know if on Big Brother you're allowed to have counsel with somebody who is in the specialty of mental health in the diary room. Now, do we know at all, and I guess we wouldn't know because we're not seeing any diary room, is Audrey really in some sort of a state of mental disarray, or is she playing a bit of a martyr right now?
That is the biggest question I have right now. And I go back and forth. Honestly, I go back and forth on my in my head, because there's a side of me that's thinking, okay, maybe she really is having some sort of serious problem here, feeling really ostracized. And we've heard a lot about her journey on the show, being transgender, and she's probably used to kind of feeling ostracized at times in her life. And so she may be experiencing some of that in the house, and that may be getting to her mentally. But at the same time, this is Audrey. This is the person who has basically driven every person in the house up the wall with saying so many different things that it's hard to really take anything that she says or does with face value. So we'll get to this when we get into today, that there are a couple of things that suggest that there may be a tiny bit of martyrdom going
on. Ooh.
Tiny bit.
Okay, I like this.
Or a lot. There could be a lot.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. So all that sort of stuff happens last night. Earlier today, I mean, really, I think the real interesting stuff kind of happens around, you know, late morning or so, because, and in this period of time before then, I mean, Audrey's not really talking to a lot of people. So nobody really has an idea what's going on with Audrey. And then Audrey goes to the diary room and she just stays there and nobody knows what's going on. She hasn't really told anybody. Of course, everybody online's freaking out right again. And I saw something from, Liz, who was switched out after Audrey got back in the house later, that apparently, like, Liz was, like, sitting out in a limo for, like, 5 hours, and she was supposed to switch in around noon, but because Audrey was in the diary room, she just to sit out there with the driver.
There was a backup?
Yeah, there was a backup. I mean, I think that driver probably likes, he probably got paid a lot today, but that's, if you're sitting in a Big Brother house, it's bad. Imagine that.
Yeah, luckily, it wasn't that hot today. That could have been really bad. We could have lost one of the 20s today.
Oh, no. That would have been terrible. Horrendous. Yeah. What would we have done?
Just like Shelly doesn't ever want to leave her dog in the car for that long. You don't want to leave any of your twins in the car for very long.
Oh, my God. Don't give me, I don't know if we have any voicemails later on the dog, but don't get me started on the dog yet.
Why? What? Are you anti-dog or anti-dog letter?
I am severely anti-dog letter. I'm very anti-dog.
You're a cat guy?
I am a cat and a dog guy. I have a dog. I love my dog. She's the sweetest thing ever. But I have a feeling that if my dog wrote me a letter when I was HOH, it would probably be something like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Left me. I'm alone.
Yeah, Keith Dixon brings up on Periscope a good point. What if her dog is like Brian Griffin?
Oh, I hope it's not like Brian Griffin from that one season where he died.
Spoiler.
Oh, yeah, spoiler from Family Guy. That's really old. Hold on.
The Office of...
No, we won't do the Family Guy spoilers. Okay. All right. So, keep going. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no. Please do. This is fun. Okay, so around that time, earlier today, Audrey just pulls up, disappears. Nobody knows what's happening. I mean, theories run rampant in the house. There were some really fun ones about her getting special powers. I mean, I think there was talk about her trying to filibuster in the diary room. I don't know to what end. That I guess if she thought if she just stayed in there long enough, they would forget to do the veto ceremony. Then there were, you know, talks that maybe she was having something going on. We still really don't know everything. But around, like, I think it was about 5 o'clock or so, maybe just a little bit after five. And it's hard to give an exact timestamp because the feeds today have been like 20 minutes behind on their timer.
5 a.m.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, but around 5 p.m. this afternoon, Audrey gets out of there after her 5 hour stay in the diary room. There's just a tiny bit of footage of this. She gets out of the diary room, goes straight to the dentist room, and then just, you know, have not room, if you will, and just stays there. I mean, she's got like some sort of brown bag with her, but nobody really knows what it is. I mean, I think I heard Vanessa later say that maybe she got some sort of medication when she was in there. And then after that, we got a lot of fish. We had a lot of waiting around. And I think this is the part that everybody will be the most curious about. We had the veto ceremony today. And at the veto ceremony today, Vanessa, with the veto, of course, took Jason off the block. This is what she's been talking about. And then Shelly put Audrey up as a replacement nominee. But there was no Audrey.
Yes.
She just didn't show up. It was like the opposite of Missy and Baylor. She just didn't show up. She wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, she was not around. I don't know what I... And she's basically been asleep in the have-not room, and they've already got the lights off in there. And so it's basically, you know, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to see anyone sort of thing going on.
Audrey is the anti-Missy.
And we'll just show up.
She will not show up.
Exactly.
She will not show up for the Vita meeting. Okay, so there is a precedent set here in Big Brother 16, at least, where Jocasta does not show up for a veto meeting. Attendance is not mandatory at the veto meeting. That if you are not at the veto meeting and you get put up on the block, it still counts as you being put on the block. That Audrey hasn't figured up some sort of loophole, right?
I don't think she's figured out some sort of loophole. And I honestly couldn't remember if Jocasta was at the veto ceremony or she didn't show up when they were pulling veto players. I couldn't remember which one it was.
Yeah,
but she wasn't at one of those things last year. So attendance is clearly not mandatory for this sort of thing. It's just, I don't understand what's going on.
Do you think we will see in the future more players skipping the veto ceremony? Will we see more players like, is this mandatory?
Yeah, I was about to ask. If Dan Limbo enters the house next season, that will be the twist. He just won't show up to any of them. But I can't imagine this ever. Like, I don't even imagine what the whole thinking here is, because the veto ceremony, I mean, I haven't gotten any sign that Audrey is physically sick. I think at one point mm-hmm. she may have mentioned last night that she had some ringing in her ears, but I haven't seen any other evidence that she's physically sick.
Yeah.
And the veto ceremony, you sit there, you know, you stand up, you move a few inches, you sit there again, and then it's over.
Matt, I will say that some people are saying on Periscope that Jocasta actually was at the veto meeting. She was not there for picking players for the veto. So maybe Audrey is just taking it. She's giving you that next level stuff.
That's Audrey for us. She knows she wants to be remembered. She wants to shake things up.
Yeah. So Audrey is taking things to the next level. She's skipping the veto meetings. All right, let's go to the brown bag. What's in the brown bag? Is there some sort of open container law in the Big Brother house that we don't know about?
I think it's the I don't want to see anybody what I'm taking law in the Big Brother house.
I mean, what could she be taking? Like, what are they administering where she has to carry it with her? I mean, is there some sort of I don't know, like, strong drug that she needs to be taking every couple of hours?
Maybe she has heartburn and she's ashamed and it's a big bottle of Maalox. I don't know. I mean, it could be. I've heard talk. This is obviously just talk. That, you know, maybe it's Xanax. Maybe it's something like that.
Does she need a bag of Xanax?
I don't know if she needs a bag. It seems to me like
she needs a bag of Xanax.
I'm not a Xanax expert, but I know that you can fit a little bottle of something into your pocket generally if she had pockets. I don't know who would turn the pocket gate here, but
you don't think it was Four Loko, do you?
I don't think it was Four Loko. There are a lot of things that people in the Big Brother house do need. I mean, let's be very clear about that.
But we have no proof it was malt liquor either, right?
We have no proof it was malt liquor. I think the feeds would be even more entertaining if it was malt liquor and she passed it around. But
yeah. Okay, so Audrey is skipping the veto meeting. She gets nominated in the veto meeting. Now she's sleeping in the have-not room with the lights off. Do the house guests control the lights in the have-not room?
That's a good question. I've heard a couple of different theories on it. I've heard that she told Big Brother to turn off the lights in that room. And because I know that to a certain extent they can, because they can control when they come on in the morning, because when they want to wake everybody up.
Yeah.
So I know that they have some sort of, Big Brother has some sort of mechanism for that. I just don't know if it's whatever's going on with Audrey. I think production they're being fairly accommodating here, because it seems like contractually, they could just be like, go to the meeting, do it now. And they didn't do it. So whatever they're doing, they're being fairly kind to her.
Yeah. So it seems like Audrey, we can assume, I mean, how many hours was she in the diary room?
It was around roughly five.
5 hours. What do we think that she was saying? Do we feel like Audrey was trying to leave the house? Is that the conventional wisdom on this?
I think she was probably having some thoughts about it. I think that's probably a very good guess. And as we said, I mean, I don't know if they will bring in a, you know, mental health professional to talk to her in moments like this, or maybe they just had one of the producers in there talking to her about it, because I'm sure that was one of the situation kind of like this went down, that they want her to leave with their head held fairly high. They don't want somebody who, you know, she said pregame, and there was that TMZ report that she wants to be an inspiration. She wants to be, you know, like Caitlyn Jenner. Mm. And if she wants to be an inspiration, it's better. It behooves her very much. At least it just behooves on a podcast, but it just behooves her very much to stay around in the game, give a good, powerful speech on Thursday night, walk out the door to the big applause, and have the, you know, the interview with Julie. And I think for her, leaving would not be a good look for her. It would not be a great look for the season, because then it would, you know, all the tabloid headlines, the master reporters at TMZ, I almost said something else there with TMZ after their brilliant reporting last week. But
yeah, this is on TMZ. Is it saying what's in the bag?
It doesn't matter. I must confess, I have not been to TMZ tonight, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come up and just make up something that's in the bag and put it up there, allegedly. But I don't know what's going. I don't know what's going on with all of that sort of nonsense. But I know that Audrey is somebody who they probably want to be an inspiration, and they probably want to leave the house in a normal way. And I think the tabloids would have a field day if she left the game before that, and if she quit. Let alone people on Twitter, because we all know how people feel about quitters and people who leave and do all that sort of stuff. I don't know if Eliza watches Big Brother, so she may be okay.
She does.
There.
I believe she does. Yeah.
Oh, poor Audrey.
Okay. So in terms of what is going to be next for Audrey, you always have to wonder with Audrey, is this an act? Do we think that she could be putting everybody on in the house? And maybe is she going for sympathy, trying to say that, hey, like, are you going to do this to me? You're going to knock me out. I'm in such a state of emotional distress, and you guys are going to vote me out of the house. Is there any chance in your mind that you think that she is putting everybody on?
Oh, I'm saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know how huge of a chance it is, and I don't want to speak light of her if she really is going through something, but I think just the body of work here. I mean, we have to look at this as detectives, and the clues here state very much that Audrey likes to cause trouble. And if Audrey likes to cause trouble, Audrey hasn't been on the block before. We haven't seen how Audrey reacts on the block, so maybe this is Audrey's tendency now that she's on the block to go very crazy and try something that no one has ever tried before, which is really go to sleep, and go to sleep in a way that's far more exaggerated than any strategy suggestion you've ever said here on the podcast, and just do nothing to the point where everybody feels so sorry for her that maybe they'll give her a chance. Because I think the other problem here is she's up against, you know, Johnny Mack, and Johnny Mack may very well be, I don't know, he's like Mick Jagger or Jesus or something in there. Everybody loves Johnny Mack.
Yeah, like, everybody does love Johnny Mack.
Like, who wants to, I think people should be thinking about getting rid of Johnny Mack, but I don't think anybody is really going to pull the trigger on that right now. So I think the odds are so against her that I think her typical campaign strategy would not work in a million years. So I'm not ruling it out that this is a very, very elaborate stunt. And she's fooling production too. I mean, I know the Emmy announcements were already made, but about the nominations, but, you know, go back in time a couple of weeks and give her a nomination if she's fooling everybody on this.
If, hypothetically, just devil's advocate, if this was a thing where Audrey was going through the motion, would production be such a willing accomplice in all of this?
That's what I don't know about, because I haven't seen the contracts, but I would think going to the veto meeting is like somewhere that's like in there in like blood that you have to do it or you're going to pay, because it seems like we've had like 17 seasons of Big Brother now. I know the first couple didn't have veto meetings, but every veto meeting since then, it's kind of, I guess, is it that outside the box that nobody has thought, oh, maybe I just won't go to the veto meeting?
I mean, at the point where she is hanging out in the diary room for 5 hours and they can't get Julia in the house to switch, you would think that they would say, like, look, Audrey, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You gotta go back in the house now.
Maybe it was a compromise. Maybe this was like a peace treaty that was signed in there, where if I get out of the diary room, you won't make me sit there and be nominated on the block.
Yeah. Well, we're just talking it through devil's advocate. If she was hypothetically faking all of this and she was like in the diary room, like, guys, I'm totally faking this. Like, I'm just going to hang out in here for the rest of the day and pretend like I'm trying to quit so people feel bad for me. So...
But- Let's be clear. I hope that's what's happened.
Yeah.
For entertainment purposes, and I obviously don't want to see anything bad happen to her. So I hope that's what's happening, and it's tremendous entertainment when we actually get to see it.
Yeah. So what do you think that happened now with Audrey? Do you feel like whatever they did, they told her basically, and I'm just speculating here, total speculation.
Of course.
So they said, look, she's like, I just want to leave. I just want to get out of here. Then I told her, like, look, like, you'll never come back for All Stars. You'll never come back for anything. You'll be persona non grata. If anything happens here, if you don't get through Thursday, you'll ruin the show, because this is late in the game. This is late in the week that the Thursday show is hanging in the balance, because if Audrey goes home to, you know, at this point, like, I think she's got to leave at the end of the episode on Wednesday. I don't know what your Thursday show is if Audrey walks out of the house.
Boy, it's true. I've heard people talk about that on the feeds. I've heard people talk about, you know, if Audrey goes home, what happens now? Do we evict somebody else? Is this getting Liz and Julia that much closer to getting back in the game right now? It would be horribly detrimental to production.
Because the other things that have happened like this, like the Willie Hans incident, I remember that. I remember that vividly. That happened on a Friday. And so it was early enough in the week that then JoJo ended up going home. The Sheena thing, I think that was also like a Friday night that ended up happening. So that was like early enough in the week that we had an eviction, I believe. So
I think the cutoff point is, I think it's maybe, is it after nominations? There was some reason why the Willie Hans thing and why there wasn't a new HOH declared when the Oshima incident happened, and then there was a new HOH. I don't know. I get it confused, but there was some differentiation between the two.
Yeah. So this is going to be something interesting to watch. So they really need her to stick it out until Thursday.
Oh, they do. They absolutely do.
I mean, they might have just given her, you know, whatever, knocked her out. You know, she could be out until Tuesday at this point.
What if there is money in the bag?
like Audrey? Inside this paper bag is $15,000. Go back in the house. You do what you want. We didn't see it. Just
take her off. This is like the mob.
Take the money. Just take it. Just take the money, Audrey.
Go to sleep. We already have enough footage for Thursday. So trust us. We have enough footage.
Yeah.
Just lie there.
Yes. Just don't show anybody what's in the bag.
Why not? I think I like this theory. This and bag of Xanax. I think those are the leading theories right now.
Yeah, bag of cash, more like. So, how does this play out? Audrey seemingly does not want to be there. She's now on the block. She's up against Johnny Mac. Is there anybody in the house that is saying, boy, who are my enemies in the house? Who are the people that want Audrey gone? Is there any sort of reason for me to want to keep Audrey in the house?
I think there is a reason to want. There is a reason to want to keep her. I think it's just an issue of whether or not the benefits of keeping her outweigh all the negatives. I think the clear benefit to keeping her is, okay, this is one more person that's going to go before me. And if I'm somebody, you know, like an Austin, who is obviously a big physical threat, or, you know, a Clay, or, I mean, Shelly at least has to realize that she's been HOH twice. And when you're HOH twice, especially when you're HOH and you've talked and talked and talked and talked as much as Shelly has, that you may be a little bit in danger. Even a guy like Johnny Mac, well, he's on the block, so he doesn't really matter that much, but he can have some sway. I mean, Becky seems to do whatever he is asking for. So I think there's some people who could consider it, but it's almost, I'm going to make a comparison to last season. It's almost like a mob mentality with Derek. Once Derek got that seat in everybody's head, it became this united front. And it was just, don't talk to this person. Don't strategize with this person. Don't give this person a second. And it feels kind of like that.
Can you talk about the house meeting from Sunday night?
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. This was a house, pretty much almost everybody up there other than Audrey. And it was a airing out all the grievances. And this was
like Festivus?
It was like Festivus minus everything that's good about Festivus.
Feats of strength?
There were no feats of strength. And the great thing about Festivus is it's wonderful, like 20 minutes and then it's over. Like, this went on for, like, I don't know how long. It felt like 5 hours. It wasn't 5 hours, but it felt like forever. Because it was basically Shelly doing the one thing that I'm not fond of in Shelly's game, is that I think Shelly is so caught up in playing, like, the meta game of playing into America that I think she's not really thinking so much about the house. And her whole point here was that I want to make sure that this is a House decision, that this is not my decision. We're all putting her all up on the block and we're all voting her out. So if we all do this, we're all in it together. And I think the code here is I don't want to look like the bad person. We obviously saw already, you know, your exit interview with Dave, all what she said to Julie Chin, that she thought that Shelley was afraid because Audrey was transgender. She didn't want to look like the bad person. And I think that was a lot of what was going on there.
Yeah. Is that fear still something that people are talking about in the House?
I think they have it a little bit in their head, but I think it's like, you know, this united front and this whole, you know, we're getting her out, we're getting it out. Nobody's straying from the plan. This is the closest thing to the buddy system from Redemption Island I've ever seen, except they're all buddies with each other. And it's like nobody is going to be alone strategizing with Audrey. I think this is pretty locked in unless something gets really, really insane happens, like Johnny Mac starts like destroying people's personal belongings or starts like deciding he's going to practice dentistry and start pulling out people's teeth. Like he wants to really prove that there's twins in the house. He's going to yank out that tooth.
Right. Julia, I really need to work on my practice. Can I get in that crown number 9?
If I don't practice, continue with that.
You know, practice makes perfect.
I need more business.
But all right, so barring Johnny Mac not doing experiments on people,
yes.
It seems as though Audrey is pretty much done for. Let me ask you this question. Has Audrey ever brought this up to the house guests herself? Has Audrey ever been playing the martyr to other house guests? Like, does Audrey ever bring up to Shelley, like, boy, Shelley, if you vote me out, like, this is going to look pretty bad for you?
Personally, I haven't seen it. That doesn't mean she hasn't done it, but I haven't seen as much of her playing the victim in that way. I haven't seen her play the, you know, I'm transgender as a card to keep in the house. I think she...
And good for her. I appreciate that she is not, playing the sympathy card, because I never like it when anybody does that on any of these shows, no matter what the issue is. I always, I feel like that's sort of a low blow to pull on people.
Yeah. And I don't like it either. And to her credit, she hasn't really gone there. And to everyone else's credit too, I've been very pleasantly surprised that there hasn't been any incidents this season, and there hasn't been any, we have not had a Big Brother 15 redux other than something that TMZ pulled out of their butt involving Jeff.
But well, let's not even make the story worse. Let's fine.
All right,
a couple of stories that they published this year that there was little evidence to support their claim.
Oh boy. So credit to Audrey for that. She hasn't played that angle. I don't see her playing that angle because she's savvy enough at this point to know that, you know, transgender stories are very big in the media right now. And I think she wants to come out of this looking like an inspiration. And I think she already knows there's so many people who aren't accepting. And I think if she does something like that, it'll just give them an excuse to be nasty and terrible.
Yeah. All right. So where do we go from here this week?
It's a good question.
What does the rest of the week look like? I mean, is this basically just it, the first 20 minutes of the show on Thursday, and then everybody else is going to be on cruise control for the next 3 days?
I feel like it's going to be something like that, maybe for a little while tomorrow. Maybe, you know, James will get really bored and hide somewhere in storage room and scare people again. They'll play charades for 2 hours. They'll do all these things that us live feeders just love to see, and I'm being sarcastic. But I don't know. I think maybe come Tuesday night, I think Audrey's going to have a lot of time to think this over. I think she'll get a second wind. I think she'll fight. I think she'll come up with something. I don't know if she'll have Audrey's funeral, but she'll do something.
I mean, this is like the Jace week, sort of from the first week on steroids, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, Jace loved to talk, but Jace's strategy was not matching his level of just being loud and ridiculous. I think Audrey has some game. I think it's just Audrey has notes. She's like the Dexter Morgan who goes into Miami Metro and keeps killing people and doesn't have any sort of other job to use that analogy she made up. She's just all game all the time. She can't turn a switch off.
Okay. All right. So are you ready to get into some of these voicemails, Matt?
I am ready. I am excited.
Okay. All right. Luckily, these voicemails come to me via our voicemail inbox. I don't have to go on my Skype at all for that. Just go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Never have to worry about going on my Skype. Did you hear that my Skype actually got hacked recently?
No, I did not.
Yes, it was a whole big thing. I wasn't even doing anything. And then I just started seeing all these messages flying up. And like, oh, and people are like, you got hacked.
People too popular now. The man's trying to bring you down.
I feel like people do take a little bit of, there's some people that take a little bit of glee in the you got hacked.
There are people who take a little bit of glee and anything that they can kind of go like, ha, 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 you're in the media, you have followers. Let's laugh.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened about any of this. Okay.
It happens.
I guess so. I guess there's a lot of that going around these days.
Okay.
So here we go. Let's start things off with a good friend of the podcast. He recently became a U.S. citizen this past week. Let's bring in a voicemail from our good friend, Umberto.
Hey, Roberto. This is Umberto from Miami. I'm calling you about Big Brother. I just have a bone to pick with you, man. So you always said that Big Brother is a marathon, not a sprint. And you want for the players to take a nap the first couple of weeks and then play. But then when you have players like Becky, Steve, and even Jackie, well, maybe not Jackie, do that, you just call them out and say they're irrelevant and they are not playing the game. So which one is it, Rob? Which one is it? You cannot have it two ways?
Oh, I can
Come
have
on.
It.
All right, love you, bae.
Yes, I can have it both ways. I can have it both ways and love you, bae.
Love you, bae.
Umberto, let me explain it like this. I do tell people when they go into the Big Brother house, they should go to sleep for 30 days because you cannot win Big Brother in the first month. You can only lose it. And so it is a good idea to go into the Big Brother house and go to sleep. However, when you go in the diary room, you could wake the F up. Okay?
Yes.
You couldn't be good TV because when I watch Big Brother, I want good TV.
Does everybody want good TV?
Supposedly they do.
Yes.
And so you can go, and I would say that Johnny Mac's strategy for the first month of the game has pretty much been to be asleep. Would you argue with that, Matt?
I will not argue with that. See, I think the way to think about this is you want to go to sleep and you want to be asleep a long period of time, but I think you want to be awake when other people are awake, and I think you want to be listening when they're talking. Like, I think you never want to be the person who looks the most asleep and looks like you're doing the least. But if you can be like doing maybe like the second or the third least, I think that's great because I know not everybody watched Big Brother Canada this past season, but as much as I love Godfrey, I think the one weakness he had in the game is he went to sleep so much, and when he was awake, people didn't realize what he was doing.
I don't literally mean go to sleep. I mean, it doesn't hurt to sleep a lot during the day, but what you can do is, I would say to anybody, if I was going to coach somebody to go and be on Big Brother, I would say go in there and just treat it like summer camp. Like, go in there, be everybody's best friend for 30 days, but own it and kill it in a diary room. Tell us exactly what you think of these people. Don't hold anything back and just be a force in the diary room. That's what we want to see, and be thinking about the future. Now, again, could Becky be thinking about the future? Could Jackie be thinking about the future? That's possible. They're not owning it in the diary room. They're sucking in the diary room.
Terrible.
Yes.
And I picked Becky to win this season. So I've got a lot riding on Becky, and not on a train, but I've got a lot riding on Becky to do really well. I'm hoping she pulls it off, but I think the problem is we're not seeing it in the diary room, and we're not seeing it really with other players, and we're not getting the sense that she's taking in information and that she's going to use this information later. Whereas Johnny Mac, he had that diary room where he said that he's taking in all the information and all these nominations and times he's getting put on the block, and he's going to do something about it later.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the difference.
All right. Yeah. Make friends and then be ready to go once you start to get to the jury. That's, you know, crunch time. Be in a position to do well and have a lot of friends and not be a target.
Yeah. Perfect.
Right. Let's take a question from Michael. Wants to talk about Austin.
Hey, Rob. It's Michael in Chicago. First time caller. Just wanted to know your thoughts about Austin and Liz. If Austin's willing to blow up his game just for Liz, does that make Liz the new Amber and Austin the new beast mode cowboy? Love to know your thoughts. Thanks for all you do on the podcast.
Matt, do you see any similarities between Austin and Liz and Amber and the great beast mode cowboy?
At the end of the day. At the end of the day, I see some. I'm not gonna go all the way. I'm gonna say he's going half beast mode cowboy.
Half Caleb.
He's not going full Caleb is when like you like just literally follow her around the entire time and you like keep personal belongings of hers when you know she's not even around and you look like one of those sort of people who's just she's just gonna be sitting at home one day, he's just gonna be looking at her from outside her window being like, hello. And I don't think Austin is doing that. I think Austin is getting a little bit of a crush, which is awkward, given that I thought he had a girlfriend before the game. He probably doesn't have one now. But he, I think the Austin thing, I think he's getting way too into what's going on with Liz. To Liz's credit, I mean, she's flirted with him enough that she's drawn him in a little
bit. She's flirty.
Yeah, she's flirty. She's done more than Amber. Oh, boy. Brandon Hance. Oh, I'm not even touch Brandon Hance. I know what happened. Yeah. So really not going to do that way. I know what happens when you mention Brandon Hance on things. But I think that Liz is really good at this. Liz is very – I'm much higher on Liz than I thought I was going to be pregame. I thought first or second out. I think she's done a very good job of reeling Austin in and making him feel this way. I don't think Amber was really as good at flirting. I think she was more good at get away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After a while. Like Liz is really encouraging it. Now, when Julia is around – not so much, but, you know, what can you do?
What are you going to do? All right, let me give you a question then about the twins, since we're talking about them. This is a question that comes to us from Chris in Commerce, Texas.
Hey, Rob, this is Chris Nichols from Commerce, Texas. I was a little worried about my preseason winner pick, Becky, last week when the Liz Hinkie vote was put on her. However, you asked a question on the Brenchel podcast, which was what happens if they disagree? And apparently they did disagree because Julie was like, you voted for Jeff when talking to Liz. So I'm wondering, in a couple of weeks when Liz and Julia both make their way into the house, will Julie use that vote as a strategy to get Liz out before herself, thus clearing Becky's name and getting rid of all my cares? Let me know what you think. Thanks. Bye.
All right. What do you think of this? Could we ever see Liz and Julia not on the same page?
That's a very out there scheme. Like that's a lot of moving parts. That's like, I don't know, it's like a plan you'd see in like a National Treasure movie or something. I don't think we're going to see like, no, I shouldn't reference Nicolas Cage either. There's clues in the Constitution. No, but I think Liz and I don't think it's going to happen. I think Liz and Julia are probably going to be on the same page forever. I get the sense that Julia really is not that excited about being there. Maybe it's because she's having to be referred to as Liz half the time and she doesn't have her picture. Or maybe she's just having an ego bruise from that, but I think she's going to be one of these people, at least if she plays the same way when they both get in the game that they do now, that I think Julia will fall on her own sword long before Liz will. And I think Liz is the better player anyway, so I think that probably works out.
Yeah. Once they come back and they're both in the house, like, it's such a straw man of, oh, the twins will both be here at the same time. Like, everybody's like, ooh, I'm not really scared. Yeah. But then once they're actually both in the house at the same time, do you think that will be much more of a tangible threat to people? Like, it seems like nobody's worried about the specter of the other twin coming in the house. But once they're both there, do you think that that'll change?
I think it'll change a little bit. I mean, I don't understand why it's not being considered more of a threat now, because people are saying, oh, you know, if they, we'll just let them both come in because if we get rid of them, then they're just going to be bringing somebody else back. That somebody they're bringing back could be you.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving up their own opportunity to re-enter the game. But I think, once you see the two of them, and I think once they actually realize, and I think some of them have their heads too far in the sand or something to think that these two people are actually going to vote together and do things together. I think once they actually see that, they'll be more on board with it. But then again, I mean, nobody seems to be that crazy about taking out pairs or alliances right now. Like, I mean, Vanessa more than fine with trying to make some sort of deal with the After Dark crew right now. That's three people. So who knows?
Okay. This is an interesting question. Let's take this one.
Hey Rob, it's Jay. I had a question for you. So wouldn't it make more sense if they did have a rewind this week? I could actually see it happening because they only have one extra week, which would be for the twins, but they usually have at least one double eviction as well. So if that's the case, wouldn't a rewind also fit in with
the... So we got the idea. The call cuts off. But it's fine. That's fine. So... do you think, is it possible? Now, after all of this drama today, I feel like Big Brother, if they could get to Thursday with Audrey, they are going to cash out and just give us an Audrey eviction. But do you think that that was something that was thought about where Audrey and Johnny Mac were both on the block? You had your most popular player in the house in Johnny Mac and the biggest story in the house in Audrey. You have to lose one of these two people. Do you think that that was discussed? Should we just do a reset button rewind week this week?
Well, hold on. Let me get my tinfoil hat on really quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Okay, here we go. All right. I'm going to say I think there was potential for some shenanigans to be going on this week because we never got a takeover. We never got somebody who was...
And we were ready for one.
Yeah, I was ready for a takeover.
We were ready for the takeover. And much like the garbage truck, it just drove right by.
Oh, boy, no, and I saw on Twitter, Lance Bass, he was ready to go. 90s week. Who's better than that? I mean, the Backstreet Boys were complimenting, the Wax Street Boys on their dance moves on Twitter. They've got options.
Yeah. I don't know.
People. I mean, my pal, well, not my pal, but my childhood idol, Kel Mitchell from Keenan and Kel. Now going back to Nickelodeon. It's a CBS owned show. You could get him back. You would make my childhood dreams come true. But no.
Yeah.
No.
Wow. Nothing. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a rewind this week. And I think that Big Brother is just counting down the hours to get to Thursday and give us an eviction show with Audrey.
No, yeah. I mean, do you think they would do the rewind again this season? It seems a little soon.
I think that they would probably try to figure out a different way to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was 90s week, could they get like some sort of VCR where you have to rewind something? But I think that they'll just want to get through this week and get Audrey out of the house.
Yeah, I think had it been Audrey and Jackie, I think, Lance Bass would have been just catapulting himself into the backyard. But, with the Johnny Mac, I don't think they're going to want to lose Johnny Mac.
Okay. Let me play this question from Zach from Calgary, Alberta.
All right.
Hi, it's Zach calling from Calgary, Alberta. I have a question about Jackie. Is she more of a Victoria from last season or a Gen City from BB14? Also, I'd like a ding, marry, kill of all three of those. Thanks. Bye.
Boy. Zach, first off, we're not going to do a ding, marry, kill because that's one of my rules is that if it's two guys talking, we're not going to do ding, marry, kill about three women. That's creepy. That's creepy.
Two married guys, no less.
If it was two guys, I would do a ding, marry, kill about if it was like, give me three guys in the house. I think that would be fun. Give me the ding, marry, kill there. If we had a woman on the show, I think that'd be fun to ask her the ding, marry, kill. That's fine. But we're not going to go there.
I think the answer is run.
That being said,
yes.
Do you see Jackie as more of a Victoria or a Gen City? And what is the difference in your mind?
It's a very noble comparison that Zach is making here. I think the real difference, the only real difference here to me is that I think Victoria was at least able enough to get herself with an ally in Derek who she knew was going to take her really far. And Jackie, Gen City, when Gen City was in the house, she thought she had Dan for a little while, but Jen was pretty terrible at that. Like, Jen was nowhere. Like, Jen to me, when I'm thinking about, like, the ultimate, absolute worst floaters in Big Brother history.
Gen City wasn't on the map.
Yeah, Gin City is just so. I less I talk about Gin City, the better. But I think Jackie right now is more in the Gin City camp because she's getting a tiny bit of information here or there. She seems mostly clueless about everything else. She doesn't have like a really good, strong ally. I mean, at this point, at least Victoria was getting a little bit close to Derek, and she's just not having that. Don't get me wrong. I think Jackie is going to be strung along in this game a very long time, and we will be being very, very, very sad when we lose the likes of a Steve or a Johnny Mac, and Jackie is still going to be there, you know, sitting on a couch somewhere.
Yeah. I would say, though, I feel like we are headed towards, I think at the end of the day,
oh boy,
I think that this season we will walk away with more entertainment value from Jackie than from Becky. And I know that might be a little bit out there on a limb because Becky already has the train story.
Yes.
I do think that Jackie will put up more of a fight for her eventual eviction, and she will go out with a more fire and brimstone, more piss and vinegar, I think, ultimately, than Becky will.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I think Jackie will bring more ultimately to the table. I think Becky's fun was a lot of ways used up by, and I hate to say it, but by the way, the show edited. The show wanted me to laugh at the train story. I don't want to laugh at Becky getting hurt. The show made me. It's not my fault.
It's not our fault.
But I don't see Becky doing a whole lot else. I mean, she's taken herself relatively seriously in the game, and I see the fun potential with Jackie is there. I mean, we have a season of proof of the Amazing Race that she's at least willing to have fun.
Okay. All right, let me do one more question, and then we'll take a couple questions from Periscope if you're up for it. All
right, I'm definitely right.
Question from Justin.
Hey, Rob, this is Justin Brereton. As we all know, you brilliantly conceived the reality show Twinder about the 20s on Tinder. Now, on the live feeds, Jason also conceived another show when he said the following about Audrey. Where did they find this chick? Did they pick her up at Manipulation Boot Camp? That's right, Manipulation Boot Camp. Now, will you endorse Manipulation Boot Camp as a new reality show? And which half of Spicin would be the first to complete the Boot Camp Double Crown?
Is the Boot Camp Double Crown the prize for being on Marriage Boot Camp and Manipulation Boot Camp?
Do you get like a set of boots if you complete both of them? Like framed in gold?
Should Manipulation Boot Camp be a show?
Here's the question. Who do you send to Manipulation Boot Camp? Do you send people who are really bad at manipulation? Do you send like Zane from Survivor? Does he go to Manipulation Boot Camp because he's so terrible? Or do you send somebody who's really good and they need to learn to be better?
I think you send somebody who's really bad to Manipulation Boot Camp.
Okay. So if that's the case, I mean, you can't send Tyson to Manipulation Boot Camp. I mean, he won Survivor.
Yeah, or Spencer. Both those guys are probably already good at it. They could be like the instructors at Manipulation Boot Camp. Maybe Jason is saying that they found Audrey. She was like an instructor at Manipulation Boot Camp. She was like one of the counselors.
Boy, I would be worried for the people Audrey is teaching at Manipulation Boot Camp. Reminds me, they mentioned Tinder. Did you hear that Becky was supposedly found on Tinder?
They found her on Tinder? They just said, like, hey, do you want to be on Big Brother? Like, I do feel like if that's like a move that if you were, again, I'm a married person, but I feel like that would be like a good, like, pickup line to go out to, in, like, to just like meeting people and be like, just going up to people like, so I'm a reality TV casting person. I think you'd be really good on this show. Just like as an opening intro to get in.
Yeah, as long as you're in Santa Monica. If you're in Santa Monica, they'll believe you.
I think so. And you can just like make up the show that you're working on. You guys can have that. You guys can have that.
Manipulation Boot
Works for guys or girls. If you see somebody you want to talk to, just tell them that you work in the casting.
Does the Tinder casting for a Becky improve the 20s odds of getting cast on Big Brother?
I guess so. I guess so.
Connections there.
All right. All right, let's take a couple of questions. So the questions move by so fast. So if you have a short question, who do you think is the best strategist this season? That's from Scott.
Oof. It's hard this season. It's not like last season where we had like somebody who was far and away so much better than everyone else. I think people have had moments. I think Johnny Mac has done a very good job of you know, going along with what people tell him to do. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to be, you know, on the block playing for Vito 3 weeks in a row. I think it's sooner or later, there had to be some point where he could have made some sort of better alliance and get out of there. So I think he's doing an okay job. I think Steve is doing an okay job, but it also sounds like some people like Austin, who I think is just upset that Liz is spending time with him. But Austin's kind of thinking about getting him out next week. So he's in a little bit of danger. And I don't think Clay is doing a bad job at all. I mean, he's got his moments of just pure ineptitude with 90% or whatever, but you know, people seem to like him. He shut down James really, really well when James started to actually take some sort of stock in what Audrey was telling him. Mm-hmm. And so I think Clay may have something. And I think whoever survives out of that Clay Shelley duo has the potential to go a little bit far. I don't think both of them are going to make Final Five or anything.
Okay.
Like, that's how I'm feeling right now. I mean, is anybody standing out to you?
I mean, if we're just talking strategy, I feel like it would be an omission to not say Vanessa. The question is she over-strategizing? The answer to that is probably yes.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling after the last 2 weeks.
Let's talk about All-Stars. Based All right. on, let's say the week gets played out, Audrey makes it to Thursday, ultimately unanimously evicted from the house. Will Audrey play in another Big Brother season, or will this week cast such a shadow over a potential Audrey return that production will say, no dice?
I'm going to say right now, I'm going to say it's very possible. I think it's
what's possible. Which one?
I think Audrey getting an invitation to come back to All-Stars is pretty possible. Buckle up, bitches. I think it can happen. And I think it's she is like Devin. Devin was tremendous entertainment for the few weeks. I mean, yeah, Devin's a terrible player, but everybody wants to see Devin. Can Devin and Audrey be in the bomb squad together? Like, just imagine that. That would be so much fun. And I think also with her story, obviously, we can't ignore that that's something that I think the show would like to shine a light on. I mean, I don't think many people are going to expect me making America's Next Top Model references, but there was a transgender contestant I knew a while back, and she didn't get, I don't think she got very far her first time, and she was brought back to All-Stars.
Okay. So it's big. I'm interested, where is Audrey in the Joker's update, Paul?
Well, let me pull this up here and take a quick look.
I can never find it quickly.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it now. Okay, House guest ratings. Okay. As of right now, Audrey looks like she is in 13th place.
13th. And are Liz and Julia counted separate?
I think right now, at one point, I think they were, okay, they're really, Jokers really needs to get with this because they have like Liz and Julia.
How dare you? How dare you, Matt?
I love Jokers. Don't get me wrong. But they've got like Liz and Julia and Liz and Julia.
This is really shocking to me that at the bottom of the power rankings, below Audrey are Shelley, Clay, and Austin. Why is Austin at the bottom?
I think this is going to sound, I don't know. I think it has something to do with the beast mode cowboy-like stuff, but I think it also has to do with the fact that I think some people know at least about the girlfriend thing. It's like, you know, people don't like
that's
that.
That's what it is?
The wrong way. I think that's part of it. I don't think.
And why are Clay and Shelley at the bottom? They seem like, I mean, for, now, again, I would say, like, if people love Jeff and Jordan, why would they be so against Clay and Shelley?
Because, this is going to get me in trouble. They're a little, it's a little Bates Motel-y almost with them. It's creepy almost.
Creepy?
The way she talks to them with like poopy head. Like, I mean,
now tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Was it because, did the feline friendly females of America and North America and the world, did they have a negative reaction to the dog letter? Is that what happened?
I think they had a negative reaction.
Did the feline-friendly females have a negative reaction to the dog letter?
Hey, she did drop a spot since yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, since the show went on, and I don't know all the feline-friendly people.
Once that letter from the dog came in, it was like, oh, let me get back on the poll. Shelly, you're dropping.
You're going home.
Yeah, you're going down in the poll.
Wow.
I can't believe that these polls are odd. Jackie is at 10 in the Joker's poll. Becky's at 7?
There's always like a couple of people who do almost nothing all season, and they get like, you know, a love thread that's like 100 pages on Survivor Sucks, and they get like shrines built to their honor. So
yeah, that's wacky to me.
I don't. Yeah, it's wacky. It's bizarre. And I mean, I think Clay and Shelley are nice, but I think there's something a little weird about the way that they act around each other. And I think a lot of it is it's just they're so self-aware that they're on camera. So it's like they're trying to be characters in a romantic comedy all the time, and it's real life. I think that's really the better comparison than Big Motel.
Yeah. Okay. It's the name of the movie. You've got Poopy Head.
Me being Poopy Head.
Are you being Poopy Head? Is that the name of the movie?
The movie You've Got Poopy Head. I hate to see what happens at like the halfway point before they get back together and happy in the end.
Don't be Poopy Head.
Sequel is Don't Be Poopy Head.
That is pure nightmare fuel, by the way. Like that is like up there with like Will Sims and his little birthday thing as like the creepiest sound bites of all time.
I don't have that ready to go.
I want to sleep tonight.
All right. Anything else before we get ready for the rest of the week?
I would just say in general, I think just kind of looking at this season as a whole, I poke fun at things from time to time, but I'm really liking this season. Like I got a little disillusioned with the end of Big Brother Canada's past season. And it wasn't because I disliked Sarah or anything. I thought she was a good player. I just felt like there were too many twists. There was too much audience manipulation. I didn't like how they handled the live feeds. And I think after going through all of that sort of stuff and then coming into this and having like an amazing cast. And I mean, I know there's not everybody is likable, but there's people to like, people to hate. Nobody is, you know, doing anything that's like purely detestable and is turning this into some awful experience online. I'm just really happy, Rob. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Yeah,
I know. I'm not usually in such a good mood.
You're all sunshines and rainbows about Big Brother.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I'm so happy right now. I mean, I think I need Jeremy Collins to come and find me.
Yeah. Jeremy Collins doesn't understand why. I don't know. You know, we're so out of Survivor mode. I don't even know if I have that.
It's fine. Well, that is all right.
I have this.
These guys are so dumb.
I don't know. Why are you all so happy?
That works for me.
Yeah, we'll get all the Jeremy Collins sound bites in order for the fall. All right. Yes. So let's go just to set up the rest of the week. Okay. So coming Tuesday, got my 13 archetypes of Big Brother with AJ Mass from ESPN. Great friend of the show. He's going to be on the show on Tuesday, and then AJ and I will draft our teams. You will hear that. I can tell you, I've got the list in my hands of what the draft came out.
Oh boy.
Spoiler. Audrey gets drafted. Audrey gets drafted. Okay.
Good for Audrey.
Then Wednesday night, my guest will be the sensation from Big Brother 16. Zach Rantz will join us. Started following him on Snapchat to get ready. So I'm hitting a bunch of golf balls with no shoes on.
Are you going to be okay if he calls you a Fruit Loop dingus during the podcast?
I've been called worse than that.
All right.
Once your Skype gets hacked, then there's nothing can hurt you then.
It's a very severe insult to be called a Fruit Loop dingus. I can't even say it properly. Clearly.
Then on Thursday, I will be back live after the eviction with Ian Terry to break everything down after potentially we see Audrey walk out of the house on Thursday. So a lot going on Thursday. And then assuming she makes it to Thursday, then on Friday, I will have our Big Brother exit interview with the next person evicted from the house. Again, all this is pending, assuming Audrey makes it to Thursday and doesn't walk out of the house between now and then.
Assuming, unless Johnny Mac starts getting those teeth and starts pulling them out, something crazy happens.
Yeah. This is going to be like the worst dental injection of all time. Just boom, right in the gums and bam!
Johnny, please come to the diary room.
That is so powerful.
No. Yes! Johnny, please come to the diary room.
No!
I wasn't even thinking of setting up that soundbite, but that's so perfect.
Yes, yes. And then we'll go to Fish, and then Johnny Mac is gone.
So sad.
Oh my God.
I know, Liz, it's okay though. It's, you're going to go far. Don't worry.
All right. There you go. All right. Matt, tell people about what you're doing over at CarterMatt.com.
All right. So on CarterMatt, we've got a lot going on right now. I mean, it's summer, so it's a lot of summer TV stuff. We have new reviews, new articles, all sorts of TV news going up every day. I talk to the Eliminated Big Brother people I'm doing that every Tuesday this season. So I'm going to talk to Jeff tomorrow. And that's going to be fun for me because I've got a few days of digesting your exit interview with him and others. And hopefully he has seen a little bit more of this season now. And
well, he told me that the reason why he got kicked out of the house was because the house guests figured out that he was so brilliant and they needed to get rid of him.
Did he also tell you that a crow got him?
No, that's what he told me. I said, that's what I figured happened also.
I think it's good that it's a few days before I talk to Jeff. I think that's going to be good for both of us.
Good.
But yeah, lots of stuff coming on, but more than anything, Rob, I'm thrilled to be here talking about all this stuff. I mean, I love Big Brother, love Survivor, love Amazing Race, love all things reality TV. And this is a lot of fun. I write about this stuff all the time, but I don't get a lot of opportunities to just sit down and rant about it for about an hour. So good times.
Okay. Well, great talking to you once again here on the podcast. You could follow Matt on Twitter. He's at Matt Carter Media on Twitter, right?
That is correct. Right?
Good.
Yes.
All right. I got a hashtag for you. What do you think of hashtag Bag of Xanax?
I'm good with Bag of Xanax. I cannot imagine
Costco Bag of Xanax. Actually, it's more of a brown paper bag. Bag.
Yeah. I hope that Bag of Xanax is not being used very much as a hashtag. Let's just put it that way.
Let me see. Bag of Xanax. Xanax?
Yeah, there you go. Bag of Xanax.
Yeah, oh no. Somebody that from Periscope, Kevin Combs, said hashtag for this podcast, hashtag Bag of Xanax. There you go.
Well, there you go. There you go, next Kevin. Level. You win. There you go. On the same page. We'll do all that. Right.
So this was very fun. Glad we got to do this. Thank you, Periscope people, for watching us throughout this whole thing, throughout all of this drama tonight. Appreciate that very much. We'll be live next Wednesday night, 9:15. Can't wait to talk about it all. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.